The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems, and the views expressed by the guest and host on our podcast are their own, and not the official views of the Pasco County Democratic Party or Democratic Executive Committee. That. And today and in the news, we have Brian Corley, Supervisor of Elections in Pasco County. Now, Brian, our listeners are voters who are concerned about what's happening these days. A lot of them have been trying to find out about the conflicting opinions and voting, and basically since the big steal began to dominate news and so forth. So I thought we want to start with Pasco County and what is the voting situation in Pasco County? What should Pasco County voters know?
That's a great question, Cal. Pasco County voters should know that first off, they should vote, and that their vote is going to be recorded as they wish it to be. Our elections are transparent and secure, and contrary to the myriad of conspiracy theories which have all been debunked, everything, the state of elections is very, very well, quite frankly, within Pasco, within the state of Florida, and I would dare to say the nation as well.
Okay. Now, is there any particular thing, like, for example, there's been some confusion about voting by mail, and do people have to re-register to vote by mail each election and so forth? Can you do a quick take on that?
Sure. So the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, in Senate Bill 90, 2021 session, did alter the duration of voters' vote by mail requests. It had been prior to the enactment of Senate Bill 90, you could get the request for, of course, one election, but up to two cycles, which really meant 4 years. After Senate Bill 90 now, then you can only have it for one cycle or 2 years. So basically every election cycle. Now, what we had traditionally notified voters who drop off. If your request were to end, for example, after November 2022, you can easily call our office, you can check on the website, just simply re-up, if you will. So it's just a little more work on the voters' part. I don't know why the switch was. It was working very, very well, quite honestly. But, it's as simple as just reaching out to us. Remember, this was no greater advocate for voters than a supervisor of elections and his or her staff. So that's what we exist to do. So that's the major thing with vote by mail. The process hasn't changed. That, for example, if you forget to sign your certificate envelope or your signature doesn't match because you get older to get medical conditions or signature changes, we're going to flag those. We're going to reach out to a voter, and you have until 2 days after Election Day, 5 p.m., be the Thursday of Election Day, to either sign, complete an affidavit and turn it into us, and okay, your vote will then get counted. So that part hasn't changed.
Okay, good. Is there anything else you can think of at the moment that would be good for people to remember in terms of Pasco?
It could not be any easier. The 3 ways to vote, of course, you should have your election day, polling place. So now there's going to be a lot of changes because of the once-a-decade process known as redistricting. So we mailed all new voter information cards to all 400,000 voters and, put a note on there. It's important voters. You may go to a different polling place. It's beyond our control, quite frankly, because now we have additional state house districts, state senate districts, and even congressional. So based on that, we have to carve lines out that create the precincts. So voters need to know. And we're going to send every voter a sample ballot. It's going to tell you your options of election day voting. Your early voting is still there. We have 12 locations countywide. There's some new locations there that we are utilizing. And of last, as you mentioned, vote by mail. So no excuse not to participate. And we on our website, PascoVotes.gov, we have oodles of good information. We have the voter's guide on there. It tells you pretty much everything you want to know, but we're afraid to ask about voting in Pasco County.
Yeah, the PascoVotes.com is really a fantastic resource, and I got my electronic sample in the mail 2 days ago, so that was good. So now let's turn our attention to the whole situation here in the United States. Here we are, 2022, and democracy and voting, I think, is in a difficult situation, and we obviously have a political climate. And there are things like voting rights, voting restrictions, election reforms, disenfranchisement of some voters, some voting groups, eligibility to vote, photo ID, voter registration. Well, I can go on. But I just thought I'd like to turn you loose, Brian, in terms of the things you think are the most important things for us as voters to remember about our situation, about democracy and voting.
Great question again, Kyle. You always come up with great questions. I love it. Probably the biggest takeaway is there's we as citizens and voters are being spoon-fed disinformation. Disinformation is the knowingly sharing wrong information, and I still can't wrap my arms around that. We dealt with foreign adversaries during the 2016 election cycle that were messing with our elections. Now we're having to basically, refute our own citizens, our own political leaders, which is a sad commentary. Mm. It's very simple. We all agree on this. It's security, integrity of the vote, and then of access. You have to balance it. To be an equal opportunity offender, both sides of the aisle, I think, say a little loosey-goosey with reality, because in my opinion, it's not really difficult to register to vote. There are some major historical obstacles. I mean, that's the understatement of the century. But on the flip side, on the other side of the aisle, voter fraud is not rampant. There's been study after study after study, and by all accounts, it's de minimis. Now, one flaw is on vote. It's too many, obviously. But what I got in a lot of hot water was I simply reiterated Bill, former AG Barr's comments that there's no evidence of widespread fraud that would have altered the results of the 2020 election. Speaking of that, Kyle, that's where we are now, is we're having to relitigate constituents. I get public records requests, email inquiries about conspiracy theory du jour and having their fuel. So the voters need to know that, do your own research, reach out to my office. That's where we exist. But the thing that's a little troubling for me is I've had more conversations that I'd like, where someone reach out to me and I don't have an agenda. I deal with reality, and my agenda is just wanting everyone to vote and the outcomes between the good Lord above and the voters. And if when I tell an individual, they'll say, these machines, they're flipping votes, and if I can articulate based on my education and experience and reputation, quite frankly, it's simply not true. If what I'm telling them doesn't subscribe to their existing viewpoint, then it's thrown off as fake news. Now, I had one constituent reach out to me, and I told them that, and I said, really kind of tongue-in-cheek, I said, if I were to say to you, I'm going to yield reality, and the truth is I know it, and agree with your contention that election was stolen, I said, you call me a patriot. And I was, again, being tongue, and he was like, you would be. And I was like, that's a very troubling situation to be in, I think, in those Americans. But I just need to pull the rhetoric aside. Our country was founded on dissent. Dissent's not a bad thing, but just have your disagreements, but be civil about it. Civility is not a dirty word, as I like to say. So those are probably the biggest takeaways dealing with disinformation.
Yeah, and obviously voting is a pillar of our country. And if we were in a, it's amazing to me to realize that there's some people out there who are, I think, simply saying, well, let's get rid of democracy and have something that we'll call, I don't know, our way of government and so forth. I mean, we see this sort of thing in the January 6th committee hearings and all that sort of thing. Now, what can an average voter do to educate himself or herself on all these kinds of things, whether it's election reforms or photo ID stuff and so forth? But what is it that the average person should be able to do? Are there any resources that you would suggest to people?
Yeah, I mean, the most pressing one is dealing now with election security and integrity. And if you go to PascalVotes.gov, we have a link on our main page called Election Security. And it has pretty much everything you'd ever want to know in there. It has, we put together a document that speaks to our specific commitment. And we've been securing elections before it was even cool. We've been doing audits before it was even a thing. Transparency, it's all about transparency. We do maintain integrity of the voter rolls. We do have accurate, secure, and timely results. And, I could list off the specific audits we do, but it's what we do to keep it safe. But also in that same link, there's information there from the Department of Homeland Security, FBI. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to say that the Florida State Association of Supervisors of Elections is pretty much considered the gold standard for other states, because we are all professionals, the training we receive, and we're very proactive. So we put some documents out there that speaks to the security integrity of the voting process. And so But just go to, I mean, Paskowitz.gov, you could, like you said, it's a good website. I'm proud of it. My team did a great job putting it together. You could spend hours doing research just on that.
Yeah.
That would be, I think, the best starting point. Because, again, we don't have an agenda. Let us educate you, and, you know, so we can enlighten you on the truth.
Right. Now, speaking about that, the election officials in Florida, in your 2021 meeting that you had, I don't know when your 2022 is going to be, but what were some of the major things that you discussed as election supervisors in Florida?
Well, we have the Department of State Division of Elections always there who conduct some training. We had canvassing board duties. People don't realize, like, for example, there's so much behind the scenes. While my name's on the door and I get the credit or the blame of how the election goes, it's the mini, in essence, a mini check and balance. The county canvassing board is comprised of a county judge, ordinarily a county commissioner, and the supervisor of elections. So three member, and they do such things. They're the ones that will look at signature discrepancies on vote by mail and make a determination. Mm-hmm. They're intent on a ballot, overseeing the public test of the equipment. And that's all done in public. So what I tell people is, you know, come out and watch what we do. It's posted on our website. But everything we do is when we're testing our equipment, when we're canvassing our vote by mail ballots, when on election day at our election service center, that's where the nerve center is at all things elections. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, no one ever comes out and watches this, but, you know, we like that because, I always make the comparison. It's amazing how Fidel Castro always going to get 90% of the vote. Obviously, the fix was in.
Yeah.
So, and the cornerstone that we do is all about being openness and transparency. So come out and watch what we do. That's what I'm encouraging the citizens to do as well.
Yeah. But you were the president of that elections official conference or whatever it's called, weren't you, in the past?
I was. I've been past president. I was the chairman of the Blood Save Committee. I've done a little bit of everything for the association. I'm proud. I mean, I'm proud. One of the best compliments that I get is when I'm giving a speech and someone will raise their hand during the Q&A and say, what's your political affiliation? That means I'm doing my job. It shouldn't matter. I say that because my colleagues around the state, when we're in meetings, it literally is unknown who's a Republican, who's a Democrat, because it's immaterial. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you 90% of my colleagues what their party is because I don't care and it doesn't matter. And that's important for what we do.
And I think that's one of the most fundamental things that people should know, and certainly something that I personally know about you, and well as my wife and others who have worked for you in various elections over the years, that Brian Corley has this, and the whole department has an incredible reputation for being on top of things, for being very clear, and their education programs are just outstanding. And it's almost as if what I kind of wish sometimes is that there would be a video made, say a 10 or 15 minute video, that would go through everything in terms of voting in Pasco and all the steps that are taken and so forth to ensure your vote. And it might be something that would be really worthwhile doing. I'll just plant that as a seed, Brian.
Yeah, I know. Duly noted, my friend.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Anything else you might want to talk about in terms of democracy in America? What do you hope for the future?
My hope is I'm eternally optimistic. I'm a glasses half full kind of person, and so I hope a lot of these these individuals who are well intentioned and respectfully are being misled, and I resent those that are misleading our brothers and sisters and our neighbors. With that said, whenever someone reaches out to me and I tell them, my hope is that they'll come out and watch what we do. Now, I'm thinking back. I think you and Nola might have been involved with that in the 2018 recount, where we had the three offices that were, had recounts. And, and I tell the story that we had what we called the bullpen. It represents from different parties, different campaigns. And it was a jovial, civil atmosphere. And when we got done, we got to showcase our process and procedures. When we got done, it didn't matter if someone was on the left or right side of the aisle. They came up and said, thank you, we got this. When you're still happy, the result, well, we're happy because their person wanted it to win. But they got to see the results in the processes. And I think we won over a lot of people during that endeavor. And I'm hopeful that if those who are, being misfed, misinformation rather, come out and watch what we do. Hopefully, I'm optimistic that if they come out and watch what we do, we can win them over and see that, we're not double counting votes. We're not letting dead people vote. It's just we can win them over with what we do. That's my hope.
Okay. And I just one other question. Now, you've given a lot of talks at various groups around Pasco County for a long time. Well, when people are asking questions, what's the most often asked question? or most often asked questions, I should make it plural.
Let's see. I get a lot of questions about what could you increase turnout. Why is turnout so low? That comes up a lot. I've heard things like make election a holiday, which I don't support for the record. I've heard of, just really ask why the turnout's so low. And in the last couple of years, it's been, how secure our elections. So probably the turnout's the biggest one. And then honestly, they say a good leader surrounds himself with people that are smarter than they. And I subscribe wholeheartedly because I usually get, you've heard it a time or two as well, I usually get a lot of shout-outs. And it's really not me, it's my team that I'm blessed to work with. And so Pasco is known as the bellwether county, as former Governor Jeb Bush said, as Pasco goes, so goes Florida. So we're used to having that intense scrutiny, and we kind of live for it. So those, I usually get those two questions and a shout-out. It's probably the most popular ones.
Yeah. I really wish it would turn out to have the voting day be a holiday, so to speak. And, yes, you'd have to show proof you voted by the next day to your employer and take it a sticker or whatever. But I think that would really be a very good thing, partly, not only because it would get turnout, but it might make people much more aware of just how valuable their vote is. By doing some homework and so forth, et cetera. Well, Brian, I don't know if there's anything else you might want to say before we wrap this up. Anything you might want to pass on to our
listeners? No, I think thanks for having me. And just, again, when in doubt, reach out to me or my office. We're a phone call or a click away. We're going to be sending out our domestic vote by mail ballots are going to be hitting mailboxes soon for the primary. And this, the primary election is often pretty dismal turnout, but there's a tax referendum on there for school-related salaries, and so that's a pocket that basically usually drives up turnout. Every voter we have some universal primary contests on there for state rep, so every voter has an opportunity to have their voice heard, and of course the upcoming midterms are always going to be exciting, so there's almost something for everyone on the ballot. I would just ask this, and I'm going to be, I was just talking to my daughter a couple of days ago, you heard me refer to, who's active duty military, United States Navy, and I think of, if there's ever a motivation to vote, those who wear the uniform, that should inspire us to come out and have your voice heard and just be nice to each other. America needs a giant chill pill. We just need to take it down a few notches and just be a little more civil. So that's my hope for the midterms.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Brian, for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Right.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. All right, thanks, Sal. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.